Hello, everyone. This is Jordan Fraker, and I'm here with Randall Valdez, one of the managers of the R&R Mercantile. We are members of the Church of Wells, and we're making this recording in order to address a grievous statement that was made by Andy and Patty Grove on the Evening Express news television show on September the 12th, 2013, where they speak about a conversation between a good, long-standing friend of Catherine, about 16 years, and how she attempted to speak to her, and how we allegedly would not allow it, except that she would utterly keep silence on the phone and only hear Catherine speak. And we were greatly grieved to hear such allegations, such twistings of the truth, and so we thought it right to just bring to the light what we were there for, what happened, just the truth in simplicity and sincerity. And so I just want to read what Andy and Patty Grove said, that you might have it in your minds, and give a short account with Randall concerning this conversation and everything that came to pass. Andy Grove stated, quote, "Every family member that's come to town seeking to have an opportunity to speak to Catherine is not permitted to do so. Even a friend, one of Catherine's very best friends for over 16 years, was not permitted to speak face to face. In fact, there was an arrangement to speak over cell phone on the condition that Catherine's friend remain silent and not say a word and only listen to Catherine speak. That was the condition to be able to be in touch with her." At this point, Patty Grove finished the story by saying, quote, "During the conversation, this young man said to Catherine, 'Catherine, you're not sounding very believable. Do you remember when we practiced a while ago, a little while ago? You need to say it like that, Catherine.'" Well, that day, it started when Catherine's friend and a man who was a firefighter from Rusk actually showed up at the Mercantile store unannounced, insisting that they see Catherine. And Catherine's friend had told the employee at the register how she had come from North Carolina, took a plane, and was coming down just for the day, to see Catherine. But Catherine actually didn't know about this and was never even told, and they just decided to show up at the Mercantile store and insist that they see her. And Francis, the employee at the register, didn't even know where she was, and so he was greatly put in straits, not knowing exactly what to do, and just, but desiring to follow peace and just do what he could. He said that he would see what he could do, and he called Ryan Ringnald and let him know that Catherine's friend and this man had shown up, and Ryan, not knowing what she was doing, said that he would try to get a hold of her. And just to offer, he told Francis just to offer Catherine's friend a solution, that he could just take her number, and whenever they get a hold of Catherine and tell her what happened, that Catherine could decide for herself whether or not she wanted to call her and meet up with her. And unfortunately, Catherine's friend was unwilling for this, and she insisted that she wasn't going anywhere until she got to see Catherine. And so Francis, again, not really knowing what to do and not wanting to cause a scene, offered that they could go and sit down at our restaurant and in the Mercantile store. And he offered them food and something to drink, and just said that he would do his best to try to get a hold of her. And at this time, it turns out actually that much of the reason she was unable to be gotten hold of was because one of the sisters of the church was actually preaching to her at the time. And she didn't have her phone on her, and they were just trying to honor the Lord, and it's a very sacred thing for the preaching of the Word of God. And so they weren't just necessarily picking up every phone call. And so that was part of the reason why it was so difficult to get a hold of Catherine. It actually took over 2 hours to get a hold of her, for them to get back to us. And even before this time, or about this time, Randall had actually shown up to work. And like I said, he's one of the managers there, and Francis told him about the situation that was happening and how these two had come demanding to see Catherine, and how he wasn't able to get a hold of her. And Randall decided to go and just try to introduce himself and see if he couldn't take over the situation, since Francis was still on the clock and still running the front register. And Randall went and introduced himself and was met with a coldness, a hardness. Just very clearly they had embraced slanders, saying many things, just refusing to give Catherine's friend's number to them because they didn't want us to have another young lady's number, is what the fireman said. And so Randall left just very grieved, just saying that he would try to do what he could. And it was at this point that he came and found me, and I was in the back. I work at the sawmill behind the R&R, and he just asked me for counsel and just what we should do. And it was about that time, actually, that we were finally able to get a hold of Catherine. We saw it one more time to try to give a call to the sister that we had heard she was with. And this time they actually answered the phone, and we told Catherine what had happened, how her friend had come down. I believe it was from North Carolina, and how she was desiring to see her and desiring to speak to her, and that a man from Rusk, a fireman, had accompanied her, and this man was a friend of Catherine's dad, and that he was just coming somewhat to be a protection to Catherine's friend. And so we just put this before Catherine, and we asked her, do you want to see her? We could come get you or bring her to you, or what would you like? Would you like to speak to her? And Catherine told us very, very forwardly, she said that she did not want to see her friend. And she expressed to us just her desire to seek the Lord. And it's understandable. Over the past days, even leading up to this, over the past week or two, she had been just desiring desperately to seek God. She had been awakened to see her sin and how she wasn't right with God, and how the Bible says that the wrath of God was abiding upon her, and that God was angry with her every day, the Bible says. And she was just earnestly desiring to get right with God, to flee the wrath to come. And unfortunately, much of this situation with her parents had caused almost most of all, if not all of her time, to be consumed with either meetings with her parents, just seeking to follow peace and seeking to explain to them and pour out her heart to them about her situation and how she was lost and how she was seeking God, and how she just desired to as Proverbs 18:1 says, just through desire, having separated herself, to seek and intermeddle with all wisdom, and to seek God with all of her heart, and to be found of him, and to feel after him, as Acts 17 says. And she expressed her desire to us just to seek the Lord, and how she didn't want to be distracted right now. And we asked her, would you like to speak to her over the phone? Would you like to speak to your friend over the phone? And she told us, not right now, not at this time. And we just desiring, not wanting to go back to Catherine's friend and tell her, you know, just utterly that she doesn't want to speak to her. We were hoping that maybe we could just somehow find a blessed compromise, some sort of a middle ground. And we asked Catherine, can we just get her number and give it to you? That way, if you ever feel led, you can call her and speak to her. And Catherine agreed to that, and she was okay with that. And so we said, all right. And she asked us to tell her that for her, because she just wanted to set herself to seek the Lord. And we said, okay. And so at this point, Randall and I came back to the table where Catherine's friend was and this firefighter were. And by this time, they were very angry. It had been a little bit over two and a half hours, I believe, somewhere around there. I wasn't really keeping track of the time, but it had been a while. And they were just very angry. They were saying things, accusing us of many things, saying that we were just blowing smoke at them, and that they could have driven to Houston and back by now, and which was very grieving, just in light of the fact that they were the ones that chose to stay, to wait. They were the ones that were emphatically saying that they're not going anywhere, and they were willing to wait as long as it took, when we had already offered to them a solution where they wouldn't be left just sitting there. It wasn't our desire just to leave them waiting. But we, you know, neither Randall or I were necessarily like intimately involved with this situation with Catherine. We were both just seeking to do our job, and just happened to be caught up in this situation and desiring to show them love, desiring to show kindness to them, and to serve them, to be servants for Christ's sake. and to see anything that we could do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And we were just desiring to do good to these two. And we were met with reproaches. We were met with accusations. I remember this firefighter was just greatly incensed against Randall, just accusing him of being a liar multiple times, which is a very grievous accusation against a Christian. And we know that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And so it's no small thing for him just to be throwing these things at Randall, who for the past couple hours had been laying down his life for this man and truly just not able to do his job and not able to be a manager at the store and see to that everything was getting done. And instead, he's just making phone calls and trying to get a hold of Catherine for this, for Catherine's friend, and just seeking to do anything he can for these two who had come unannounced and had not let us know. I mean, it would have been a very different story if they had called us and expressed their desire the day before. I'm sure we would have been able to make inquiry, and they wouldn't have had to wait, and there wouldn't have been any confusion, and much of this could have been avoided. But at this point, we just told them, we expressed to them Catherine's desire that she did not want to see or speak to Catherine's friend right now. And they were unbelieving of that report. They didn't believe that we were telling the truth. They didn't believe that we were speaking the truth about what Catherine had said. And they insisted that we get her on the phone. And they began to just plead with us, "Why can't you get her on the phone? Just get her on the phone. Why can't you do that? If you're being honest, why can't you do that?" And I just found myself in a great strait, truly not knowing how to go forward, because I'm just seeking to uphold Catherine's desires and just be an honest man to her and just show good faithfulness to her and her request not to see or speak to her, and just a desire to not be interrupted and to be able to seek God. And just I myself, having been lost once, know just the fearfulness of that state and how terrifying it is not to be right with God. And so I'm desiring to honor her request, and I'm at the same time desiring to help these two. And I pled with Catherine's friend. I told her, I said, I would honor your request, but I cannot do what you're asking me without becoming a liar and a dishonest man to Catherine. She says she doesn't want to speak to you, even over the phone. We asked specifically. And I said, so I really don't know what more we can do. You know, if our report, if the two men that are seeking to help you, if you just want to rail on them and call them liars, what can we do? And it was at this point that they, and not us, as the Groves slanderously reported and said on national television, it was at this point that Catherine's friend said that she would be willing, just to hear her voice, that we could call her and get a hold of her and just put her on speakerphone. And if she could just hear Catherine say to us that she didn't want to see her, that would be enough for her, and they would leave. And we asked just for a moment just to go pray and just to see if that would be right in the sight of God, if God would allow that, if that was his will. And so Randall and I went and prayed, and we cried out to God, and we had faith that that was God's will, that this was a solution, though an odd one. We were just thankful that they were willing to do something that wouldn't dishonor Catherine's request, but that would satisfy them as well and persuade them that we weren't lying to them and being dishonest. And so we had decided that, and we had called Catherine to try to tell her what was going on, and that they weren't believing us and that they weren't receiving our testimony, that Catherine had indeed said she didn't want to see her friend. And even as we were speaking to her, Catherine's friend and this man just barged into the laundromat on the phone conversation, just trying to get in a word and just speak, and just Catherine. And just, we were very grieved already. They weren't keeping true to their word, and just we were just trying to honor Catherine's request and just try to be upright in the situation. And so we asked them just to leave for a moment, and that we were willing, we believed that we could answer their request. We were willing to ask her on the speakerphone this question, if she really did not want to see her best friend or her good friend who had come down for the day, if that was truly her desire, her will. And at this point, I just want to let Randall give an account from here forward. He was much more involved in the conversation, and he was the one that Patty specifically addressed and said that he had told her that, "Catherine, you're not sounding very believable. remember how we practiced a little while ago. You need to say it like that, Catherine. And so I just want to let him give an account as he was the one that was in that dealing.
So as Jordan said, my name is Randall. I am one of the managers of the R&R Mercantile. And I just want to show you, from what Mrs. Grove said, how it stretched to that from this, I don't fully know, but I just want to give you the account to the best of my memory, to account to you what was the truth and what I said in the situation that we had now transpired to be in. I was very grieved because they had called me a liar and they were still believing that. It was very hard to talk to them because this man in particular was unkind to me. He truly, every time I tried to say something to him, he would say something to the degree that I was lying. And so with Catherine on the phone, she began to speak to her friend, and we didn't stop that. And though, as was said, they were the ones who put this condition, this strange condition that they wouldn't say anything. Again, just making us seem as though we just like want to control it. Though we were in true desire, as much as you would receive that from us, we were desirous to honor Catherine. And she told me and Jordan she did not want to speak to her. And we were understanding, and we were for Catherine and her desire above the request of her friend, though understanding for the friend as well. So at this point, Catherine is speaking to her friend, and her friend is taking much occasion to try to implore Catherine to meet with her. And, saying, I've come from North Carolina, please, Catherine, meet with me. And Catherine, with somewhat of hesitation, I have talked to Catherine, and it was not hesitation to what she was saying, but she is hesitating on how to say it to her friend who is not receiving it. And she was saying, I'm just trying to seek the Lord. And her friend would not receive that. And she began to try to share some scriptures with her. Well, at this point, the friend was saying things to the degree that it really sounds like we are coercing or, giving words to Catherine. And I interjected, and I just said, "Can I say something, Catherine?" And Catherine said, "Yes." And so I said, "These are the words that are misquoted, but this is what I said." I said, "Catherine, it's pretty evident to me that that your friend and this man have embraced lies. Everything they've said so far is." I've been pretty unkind. This man has called me a liar. He's also, not been willing to give us her number, painting us out to just be just monsters and just grieving words. I just want just to clarify before all, that me and Jordan did talk to you and that you did request of us to tell them you didn't want to talk. And I don't want there to be any confusion about that because I'm afraid they're going to slander, and I can already just feel the tension with them that they just think we're holding you against your will because of all the slanders of your parents. And at this point, Catherine actually cut me off and began to talk to her friend again and just express how that was not the case, that she indeed did desire to be with us. She actually was greatly defending us, not at our request, but she was saying how her parents had lied much, and she was asking her friend not to believe the lies. And then she said very plainly that she just needed some time to seek the Lord, and she just wanted to be left alone. And then she said, "I don't have anything else to say. Goodbye." And she hung up on us.
It was at this point that desiring in my own heart just to help Catherine's friend understand why Catherine would be so set in her heart just to seek God and not necessarily meet with her, though she had come so far. And it was just in my heart to help her understand biblically what was going on. And I just looked at her and I pled with her. I said, "If you like, I would be more than happy to sit down and go through the Word of God with you about why Catherine is desiring to seek God so steadfastly." Because Catherine's friend had asked, said, "Just why don't you want to meet with me?" And Catherine had tried multiple times to really express it, that, and really she ended up not really being able to say all of why, but she just said, I can't say all of why, but I just don't believe that God wants me to right now." And so I was just desiring to give more clarity on that situation, but it to the grief of my heart, Catherine's friend and this fireman both just said, "No, thank you," and walked off. And it was a great grief to both of our hearts, Randall and I. And we just desired that they'd be willing, just reasonable, just to sit down and hear the scriptures and to understand. It would be very clear. It wouldn't be unusual. It would be only reasonable if you saw that you were under the wrath of your own Creator, set to destroy you, that you had been provoking Him by hypocrisy and been a Pharisee your whole life, and now God was giving you light, that you would want to take heed to the light that God was giving you and not harden your heart and not just pretend like everything's all right, but to believe God and to live in light of what God is saying. And so I hope these things have cleared up, just these accusations, just cleared up this matter and what happened and what was said by the Groves on the Evening Express. And we do desire that those of you who are hearing our voice, that you would be helped and not led astray by these slanders. Thank you for your time, and may God have mercy. Bless you.